You've been through the temptation story so many times. Today, I would like, if I could, to offer another possibility. It is not a temptation story so much as a testing story. If you look at the last line of the gospel reading, you see that that word test is used. But to set this in its proper context, allow me to read just a short passage from the book of Job. Hasatan is Hebrew for Satan, and the prefix ha, which means the, shows that it is a noun that is coming up, not a proper name. And it could be translated as the adversary or the accuser or the tester. And today I'm going to go with that third opportunity, the test. Here's what the book of Job says concerning this testing one. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Hasatan also came with them. The Lord said to Hasatan, "Where have you come from?" Hasatan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth and going back and forth on it." And then the Lord God said to Hasatan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Hasatan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now just spread out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Hasatan, "Very well. Everything he has now is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Hasatan went out from the presence of the Lord. You see, a whole new meaning of Satan in that case. He's the one who will test with whatever devices he has to see if a person is one who worships Almighty God and is faithful. One teacher said that he remembered an encounter with a Jewish friend of his. One day he wrote in his diary about when the daughter of a friend came, beginning to learn her Torah portion for her bat mitzvah service. She came to her father and announced her results. "I have concluded that there is nothing wrong with pork," she said. "God made it, and it tastes wonderful." After considering the test with which she was working, she said, "There is nothing bad about pork," she repeated, "but there is a great deal that is good about learning to control yourself. When I smell pepperoni pizza, I will remember that I am a Jew and I will control myself. Oh, it takes my breath away." That's where obedience comes, not from some slavish thing that threatens you with punishment, but with a reality of whose you are, and therefore who you are. This is where the test comes in our life, not so that God threatens us and demands of us, "Be on your knees or I will smash you to smithereens," which is what the cartoon characters always do. And of course, our hero cartoon characters always make out pretty well, so that the fox never outsmarts the one he has been chased. Jesus is the one who is assailed by the foxy one. He even calls the ruler of this world, "Go tell that fox that I am the one who has authority." Jesus, we have just heard in weeks past that he has been defined or identified as the Son of God, the Beloved. We have heard a genealogy including all sorts of famous people: David, Abraham, Adam, and finally God. And so the psalmist reiterates this kind of identity, that Jesus learns whose he is. He belongs to God. And we would teach in our religion that he is the presence of God. Jesus is the very presence of God in human flesh, so that for our sakes and for our salvation, he performs these things, the test of which we on our own would fail. But he gives us strength so that we can stand up to the one who is constantly flirting with us, showing us ways that are not the ways of God. And so you see it in day-to-day life, where people curse one another. When someone who wants to get a high office of authority calls people names, for instance, is not the way God works, but it's the way human beings work. Sometimes it makes me depressed to hear people say the kinds of things that are said over the television and the radio. But don't lose heart, for the one who has been testing all of us fails in some ways to convince people that God is love. And so they act as hateful people. Well, that does them more harm than anyone else. I, therefore, don't want to be involved in that kind of exchange. Not because I'm so good, but because God is good. I should therefore refrain from all those things that would identify me as someone else instead of God's own true person. Testing, then, is not something to be dreaded, but admitted to. And know when it happens that you are lifted up, just as it says in the scripture, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you even smite your foot against a stone." There's good news in that, that God supports us and gives us all the strength we need, if we will simply pay attention to it, to the test that is going on in our lives. There's one passage that I never realized how important it was until I looked at Greek Orthodox illustrations of the resurrection of Jesus. It shows what amounts to a grave underneath Golgotha, the place where Jesus was crucified. And underneath that hill is a kind of an opening where everything is dark and black. And this, the Orthodox Greeks teach, is based on 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 19. It says, "After being made alive, the risen Lord Jesus went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits and set them free." And what the Greeks teach, and what we could perhaps take a little indication from, it's a possibility that all those people who died in the flood, who never had a chance to hear the good news, who were never encountering the one who gave them hope, then they needed rescue too. And so the risen Lord Jesus descended into hell. Ah, that sounds familiar. That's in the Creed. And when the Greeks illustrate it, they show a black hole underneath Golgotha, the place where Jesus went to set the prisoners free. So when darkness inhabits my spirit, and I am less likely to be the kind of person who brings credit to God, the God of love, the God who gives us all wonderful things every day, then I shall repent, which means to rethink and see what God has given me in my life, including mornings and evenings, a family, food to eat, and hope for life everlasting. If you look again at the prayer of the day, which we did at the beginning of our worship, we ask this of God: guide us now, so that following your Son, we may safely walk through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Ha-ha. There's a sermon altogether in one sentence. We cannot do it by ourselves, by our own strength, by our own concepts, by our own reasonings, or anything else that is limited to human beings. But we can do it only because God has chosen to guide us through the wilderness of this world, where people do, from time to time, say hateful things about one another, call each other names, steal and pursue courses that are shameful. We are not them. We are the ones who belong to Almighty God. And so we continue in this service and for the rest of the week to pray the prayer of this day. O Lord, I cannot do it by myself. Lead me through the wilderness that threatens me in this world of temptation, so that I may have the life you have promised me through the one who was raised from the dead on the first day of the week, gathered the disciples to rejoice. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.